Good evening, everyone. Welcome to What the Buck. I am Old School, your host, coming to you live from Studio 76. I am joined, I would say as always, because it damn near is as always, and it is starting to get really comfortable, almost like that pair of jeans that sort of has almost a hole in the middle of the crotch, but you still wear them anyway. I've got with me the ginger badass, Mark Cook of PewterReport.com. Mark, how you doing, brother?
I'm great. Little bit of allergy problem tonight, but other than that, I'm doing good. And I actually am wearing a pair of pants with a hole in the crotch as we speak.
Well, and I usually pay extra for that, but I'm glad I didn't have to pay you extra for that. And I'm glad that you will be here to give us some of your insight and knowledge about the Buccaneers' upcoming game with the Falcons. We got a lot of excitement going on, and it'll hopefully wash some of the stink of that fourth preseason game off. The rain wasn't sufficient to wash all of that dirtiness away. So hopefully we got that out of our system using the colloquial we that I use and you disdain. Mm-hmm. But as we are now looking forward to the regular season, I have to say, you know, it was funny. There's an article, and you'll know who wrote this because you're a real journalist. There was an article written in the preseason that the juice was away. No one cared about the Bucs, et cetera, et cetera. And there were radio guys who jumped on that quickly. And I certainly am no fan of the passing fan who you know, only goes when we're winning 10 games, right? That kind of annoys me, but we need those guys too.
Sure.
But I can tell you, as someone who does speak to a lot of fans and has the occasion in Twitter, like you see with us, the Twitter interactions, get to hear fans, I don't know that I can recall in recent history this much excitement about the Buccaneers. Are you seeing that on your message boards as well? Because I know you have the largest message boards in Buckdom.
Yeah, you know, we've seen that. You know, there's some excitement. Look, people are skeptical because you know, they've expected. I mean, everybody gets excited at the beginning of every year. I mean, Cleveland Brown fans are excited right now.
Yeah, but those guys are clearly delusional. I mean, God love them, right?
They're great fans.
They are phenomenal fans.
I spent a weekend in Cleveland a couple years ago, and just a phenomenal group of fans, and you know, really solidly behind their team, and they're going to have, you know, 60,000 people or however many their stadium holds. Even when they are 3-12 or, you know, 2-9 at a
so
point.
So every season.
Every season.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've just got a built-in fan base of masochistic fans, I guess, who just, you know, they're just used to the losing and they're not okay with it. But, you know, they go for the experience. And it is an experience up in Cleveland. I know nobody cares right now if they're not from Cleveland. But it's a neat experience. And you traveling around to other stadiums, it's neat to see the other perspective from the other teams. And I enjoy my time in Cleveland. But there is an excitement level amongst Buccaneer fans on PewterReport.com, certainly on Twitter. And listen, the bottom line is it all stems from number three. Not all of it, but let's just say.
A whole lot of it.
A whole lot of it.
Yeah.
When you I just, right before I came over, and that's why I ran a little late, I watched last night's episode of Hard Knocks, and, you know, that was the cutdown episode. And, you know, the number one draft pick in the draft this year, Jared Goff, is number three on the depth chart.
Brutal.
I mean,
if only someone could have predicted that. If only some front office anywhere in the league could see that he was not worthy of that pick.
Right.
Oh, wait, all of them saw that except for the guys who picked
him. Right. No doubt. And you know, listen, I hope he turns out. He seems like a great kid. I enjoyed watching him on the program. But he's no Jameis Winston at this point. And we had an opportunity to talk to Winston. It's game week, so on Wednesday we get Coach Monk and the offense coordinator and also Jameis Winston at the podium before open locker room. And I asked Jameis, I said, you know, you've got to be light years ahead of where you were 12 months ago at this time, getting ready to face the Tennessee Titans. And he said, absolutely, it's night and day. And he said, the main reason is because, you know, now I'm not thinking and learning each week. I'm getting better at what I already know. And, you know, we'll see how that transpires. You know, I'm not one of these guys that think because he threw for 4,042 yards last year that he's going to throw for 4,900 this year.
That's not how it works?
Not always.
Damn it!
You know,
I need new stats, people.
I would like to see that happen, but I mean, I'm a realist when I go back and look at some of those games last year. You know, he got a lot of you know, I don't ever want to call them garbage yards because he earned them and his receivers earned them, and you know, but there was a lot of behind games, second half chunks, but that's okay because he needed to be in those situations. And again, we've seen Buccaneer teams and quarterbacks in the past who were behind, who didn't get those 250-yard second halves.
Well, they compiled the problem by throwing four interceptions in the second half, which was another direction he could have gone.
Right.
Fortunately, he did not choose to go that direction.
Yeah. You know, but he said, you know, it's you know, it's not. He said it's, you know, confidence isn't a problem. It wasn't a problem last year. He said, I'll always have confidence. But It is comfortable, being comfortable in what he's doing now. And so I think that's really going to bode well for the Buccaneers moving forward. Obviously you can sit here and say if Vincent Jackson goes down and Doug Martin go down and Donovan Smith go down, this team's screwed. Or Jameis Winston goes down for
you mean if three to four premier starters on a team go down, then the team has a problem.
Look, if one of these receivers go down, there's problems there. But
who's the third receiver on the Falcons?
Me.
Right. Right. It was always Harry Douglas for years, but he's not there anymore either. Right. So, I mean.
Who, by the way, was my son's favorite player when he was very young because the guy's name was Douglas and my son's name is Douglas.
There you go.
And,
Louisville
and,
guy.
And I tell Douglas all the time he's very hairy. So he is Harry Douglas.
It makes sense. There you have it.
So, but just to sum that up, Jameis is feeling good. The excitement level is what it hasn't been in years past. I'll say this. I don't know that the excitement level has transferred into major ticket growth yet. I've talked to some people, off the record a little bit right now. There's still a little bit of that wait and see.
Sure, absolutely.
And listen, I'll be honest with you, we will give you a hell of a deal in advertising right now, preseason special.
Absolutely. Everyone is doing it.
There's a wait-and-see approach, and that makes sense to a degree. I mean, again, I go back to my first year full-time covering the Buccaneers for Pewter Report 2011, and I remember walking to that stadium when they were playing, I think it was Houston, towards the end of the year. They were on that 10-game losing streak. And, I sat there, and for the first time in my life, I felt sorry for fans sitting in the stands. Now, I was the guy in the 80s that would go, buy a ticket for $5 and sell it for $10 and make $5 and then use that $10 to buy a $20 ticket and,
Hustler.
And until I would get in for free. So, but I was, as the Cleveland fans at that point conditioned to losing, it was okay.
Right.
That 2011 year, they were coming off that 2010-6 year. There was all that optimism and it was just kicked, square in the testicles. And I felt sorry for Buccaneer fans really for the first time. Because again, I can go back to when they were losing a lot, and I was part of that, so I didn't feel sorry for myself. But I certainly kind of, as I'm sitting in the press box and the air conditioning in the press box and eating free food, and I look down, I see these guys that spent, $100 on a ticket to sit in the corners and, $8 or $9 for a beer to watch that crap on the field. When you walk into a stadium feeling like there's no chance of your team winning, that's got to be a terrible feeling. But that's not the case this year, but there is some skepticism still, and some of those guys from the last few years, still feel that skepticism. But it's close to breaking loose. People, you joke about being fringe media. There's a lot of fringe fans out there right now who are on the verge of wanting to support and believe in this football team, and a 4-2 start does that. A 5-1 start.
It's interesting. I've always wondered how this works, and I know how it works. I just don't like how it works. I feel that you're a fan or you're not a fan, mm-hmm. and that's why I have so much respect for Cleveland fans, mm-hmm. right? Because they're fans regardless Absolutely. Or irregardless, right. in Reverend Jesse Jackson speak. They don't care. They're going to be a fan regardless. Now, they're going to tear them apart. They're going to, the same way we do. We dissect our faults and we do this stuff, but I got to tell you, I am very excited about what's going on, and I hope that the team is excited, and hopefully that's through the year. Hopefully you're able to give us a window into that.
Yeah, that's you saying you're excited is good because you were as down as I saw you after the end of last season.
Down as I've ever been as a Bucs fan,
and I was concerned. I mean, I knew you would always be a fan. It's one of those things. It's like the Zika virus. I don't know that you ever get rid of it. I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just okay. Well, I didn't want to use the word herpes, but
that's totally fine.
Okay, you never totally get rid of it, right? I mean, you can go months without an outbreak. God, all of a sudden I sound like an expert on this, but anyway, you can go months without an outbreak, and it's going to hit
you. I've seen the commercials for Valtrex,
okay,
brother.
Thank you. They're and I'm wondering where
advertising works, man.
Yeah, but
speaking of advertising, you can advertise right here on whatthebuck.net
or pewterreport.com. Contact me, Mark at pewterreport.com for great specials. But I knew that the herpes was going to catch you again, and it did. And I'm happy about that.
You can run from it, but it always catches you.
Yeah.
Listen, let's get things kicked off here. Let's say thanks to the people we need to thank. We always want to start off by thanking Bill Curry Ford, our platinum tailgate sponsor. It is the whatthebuck.net tailgate brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. We love Christy and Tim and the whole team over there at Bill Curry Ford and all the things they do via Bill Curry Cares. We're fortunate enough to be able to work with them on a number of these things. And we continue to learn more about the charitable giving, spent. Cheryl Stewart, who heads up and is the founder of What the Buck Really Matters, our charitable arm, continues, we continue to to bash our heads through walls and learn how to do things and grow in how we approach our community. And a lot of that is done by working with folks like that, with Vincent Jackson's team, you know, with the other teams in the area, which is phenomenal. So it's good to do that. We want to thank Steakhouse Elite, our friends out there. We want to send some positive thoughts to our friend Ty Freeborn's parents, who had a horrible house fire, took their whole house out. So we're certainly, our hearts are with those guys. And thank those guys out in Oregon who have only been out here once, but for some damn reason love what we do and are always participatory in what we do. We got some exciting things about the tailgate that's going to really play up to Steakhouse Elite this year. And last but certainly not least, we want to thank Tito's Vodka, because we're going to have the Tito's Vodka drink words tonight. And I think that there's going to be a whole lot of the drinking going on in the chat room, because I think they've chosen excitement as the drink word in the chat room. And I am very excited, I have to admit. So I want to plug the second annual watch party, One Buck Experience, that Bill Curry Ford is putting on as well. Tickets are not cheap, guys, but it's not a cheap experience either. They're $125, but it's all you can eat and drink, and it's not beans and franks, guys. This isn't the typical crappy little half-ass tailgate you'd see sort of on the other side of Dale Mabry. It's a for-real-though experience right there at One Buck Place. You watch the game with Mike Allstott and the whole crew. There are raffle prizes that'll make your head spin. Make sure you get out to the website and get those tickets before they sell out. I think there are only 200 total tickets being sold. So, oh, I'm sorry. Joe just corrected me in the chat room. It would appear that the drink word is the, which means that most of the people that are in the chat room are, in fact, already inebriated, which will be bode well for us, given our relative prowess on the microphones. Want to send some shout-outs to Pewter Report, obviously, for what you guys are doing. We're going to tease a little bit. We got a special thing coming up. Even Spent doesn't know about. She's going to be like, what the hell just happened? We've got an event that's going to be going on Wednesday of next week. We think everything's going to set up for that.
Yeah. It looks like we're going to be doing that. You want to say it now?
Yeah, let's say it now. We'll talk about more throughout, but I want people who are booking travel to make sure that they fly in for that event.
Yes. Because everyone wants to stop off at Tampa before they go to Phoenix for the game.
Which is, I will be stopping off at this event and
that's
then going
right.
to
You're
Phoenix.
You're leaving the next day. That's true. But we're going to be at Keel and Curly next Wednesday night. It's 6 to 7 for a Pewter Report happy hour. Going to be some samples of some of their amazing beers and different things there, so we hope people will come out. And then you and I are going to, immediately following that, do the show live from Keel and Curly, so we hope people will come out and hang out with us, and if they've got some questions, you might even have an open mic for them. And,
absolutely.
We'll chat and have a good time doing our show live, and we will be inebriated. And hopefully Uber knows how to get from Thanodesassa to Pinecrest. I don't know if that's the case.
I'm pretty sure we'll be okay. But we did do a show on Keel and Curly before. I think there's new management out there, new people, a new spirit. Mm-hmm. It's a great facility. Mm-hmm. I mean, the facility was never an issue. The drinks were never an issue. The food was never an issue. I don't know if the same barbecue place is there or not or what's going on. I haven't been out there. But it's a great take-in. We haven't done any live events this year. And because of the partnership and stuff that we're doing together, we wanted to make sure we got together. So if you're available here locally, or if you do want to fly in for this event, we certainly could get you some accommodations here at Studio 76 in the window seat. But we will be live. We'll be doing a happy hour with Pewter Report 6 to 7. I assume you guys have some sort of drink specials for folks, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know all the details. We'll have something up on that soon. But, yeah, there's definitely going to be some different specials and things like that.
And then we will do the live show right there from Keel and Curly. We'll have the speakers out. And I'll tell you how the open mic usually goes. And if Skip listens to this, because Skip doesn't usually listen live, but when he listens to it on the replay, we always have guys like Skip, who's phenomenal, really knowledgeable football fan, super knowledgeable Bucks fan.
He's not that knowledgeable.
Better than the average bear, for sure.
Nah, I'd say he's average.
But we have an open mic and people don't want to take it. But we are going to do a Q&A. It's going to be like a panel. So we want you guys to be involved. So if you can get out there, we'd love to have you at Keel and Curly. Spent, sorry to throw that curveball at you, but this was fast developing. And I
kinda
still
like
think
Hurricane Hermine.
Hermine. Yeah,
Hermine.
It's so funny. Nice. Brian Dory says Skip doesn't know Jack. Dory, you got a chance to be on a computer? I thought you had to take care of your kid or brew beer or whatever the hell it is you do all the time instead of be with us.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when you used to love us. I really do. And Shuck says that Skip knows not as well. All right. So that's going on, which is tremendous. And I do want to send a shout out to any of our listeners out there. One of the things we have been saying, you've seen it a couple times on social media, that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. There's a reason we're saying that. Just keep your eyes open, guys. 11 years in, people are still doing the stuff that we started doing, and it's great. And I'm glad they're catching up. And as soon as people make it not a requirement for us to do certain things, we'll back out. It's almost like you're old as I am, and you had crappy cars too. Remember the stuff you sprayed in the top of the carburetor to start a car? The quick start
was starting fluid.
Yeah, the starting fluid.
Right.
That's what I think we are. We're sort of that starting fluid for some things, because people got fat, dumb, and lazy around here. And specifically, and no offense to you, but in the media, they got fat, dumb, and lazy. Right. And so now these guys are stepping back up and doing these things, and I applaud them for it. I hope they do a good job. And as soon as they do a good job, we'll stop doing those things and go do other new things. If they continue to do a crap job of them, we're going to continue doing them better than they do. Right. So that's what it is. All right.
Got a quick question for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
As I'm tweeting, as I noticed you didn't tweet the podcast tonight.
It should have tweeted. I'm sorry. It should have auto-tweeted. Thank you.
Didn't auto-tweet. But now when I put in the whatthebuck.net, it pulls up the What the Buck Radio. Will they be able to click on that
link? In the top right. Great. When they get to the homepage, we had to fix that thumbnail. But in the top right, there's the Mixlr embed, and it'll show that we're live, and you'll be able to click on it. For you folks that that have been listening and are in the Mixlr, make sure that you tell me if it's not that easy. It seems like it should be that easy, and I've tested it to be that easy. And that's one of the reasons why we went to the Mixlr platform, was to make it easier for folks on their mobile phones, at the gym. We got people on the West Coast and other countries. Callum's here. You know, so
where's Callum at?
I don't know. He sounds like he's from the UK somewhere, but I don't really know.
Callum will tell me. He could be from Australia for all we know.
I don't think he is. I think he's from England. Liverpool.
Really?
Liverpool. See, look at that. Australia. And Rick H. says that Mixlr is super easy. Rick also has an article coming out tomorrow morning. We got Thomas Sandberg's article went out tonight with the preview stuff. If you have not noticed, we have been putting out some really good content on the website because if other folks are going to stomp into my territory, I think we should stomp into theirs as well. We went out and got some top-tier authors who will quickly leave us and go to NFL.com like they always do, but that's okay. We'll keep them as long as we can.
I'm looking for one.
You're looking for an author?
Yeah.
Don't take mine.
Please.
No. No.
How much are you paying them?
You don't want to know about the lucrative package we got here.
I will triple their salary.
We have got a lucrative compensation package here at whatthebuck.net. PSA from Bucks Princess, New Mexico is not Mexico. And she still insists that Albuquerque is really a city, which I don't necessarily believe is true.
There's werewolves in Albuquerque, by the way.
All right, real football. So tell us about, we went and signed a guy who used to be really good, or used to be super adequate. Cecil Shorts.
How about just saying better than what they had?
Yes, we improved. We improved our depth at receiver, and sadly that meant Evan Spencer was released, who I actually liked. I thought had done a fairly good job, and I don't think we've seen the last of Evan Spencer.
Evan Spencer won that job based on, is the word attrition? I mean,
it is, in fact.
He didn't get hurt.
It is exactly
too many
attrition.
Balls. I mean, it was like, gosh, what are we going to do? We have to have a fifth wide receiver. Who's left? Oh, coach's son. And I'm just kidding. That had nothing to do with it, because if it did, he would still be on this team. So, which I was thinking driving over, how tough is that if you're Tim Spencer? How tough is that if you're Jason Light that has to go to Tim Spencer, or Dirk Cutter has to go to Tim Spencer and say, you know, yesterday you guys were celebrating him making the 53-man roster. Now he's not going to earn a paycheck.
Yeah, but
week.
That whole family is familiar with this routine,
well,
right?
It
still sucks,
doesn't make it
no
any
doubt.
Easier.
So Joe wants to point out that Cecil Shorts has been cut from two teams. That happens. People get cut in this league. Speaking of people that were released, Mike James. A lot of us are big fans of Mike James. I don't know what the injury was. But he has been released, an injury release, And do you know what the injury was with Mike?
It was something with his leg, knee. I don't think it's anything major, but it was something that was nagging to the point where, as Dirk said in his press conference today, it's unfortunate, but, you know, if you're not available, you can't help us, and they needed to make a move. Tough to go into a football game with just two healthy running backs. And so looks like Peyton Barber is the guy that will be promoted. And that came from Greg Allman first, I believe. So
hard to believe that Greg Allman had the scoop.
Yeah.
He said with sarcasm, hashtag loud.
But Greg had to, or that's where I saw it anyway, the first time is from Greg. So I assume it's from Greg, because there was no official release when I looked from the Buccaneers on that. But Peyton Barber looks like he's going to be the guy that's going to replace or fill, you know, that open roster spot.
Did you hear that scream of joy? That was from Bucks Princess about an Auburn player.
Yeah, so the last one left in the NFL other than Cam Newton.
The funny thing about college, and we will not diverge too far down this path in the wood.
How about those Noles?
I was going to give you the opening. We had a request for you to say at least a... Now, I have to make sure I wireframe you a little bit here, because you have a tendency to be a bit loquacious. There's your word of the day, by the way.
Right.
Loquacious, ladies and gentlemen.
I like eating loquats.
Loquacious.
Oh, different.
FSU comes back, storms back against Ole Miss, who have been stomping a literal mud hole in their backside. Halftime adjustments. They find out how to get pressure on Baby Kelly, and all of a sudden, your freshman quarterback goes absolutely bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Yeah.
And the Noles win.
Amazing performance by Francois. There was at one point in the second quarter that I actually tweeted, and listen, if you want to see an over-emotional, irrational maniac tweeting a football game, follow me during Florida State games. I'm the guy that'll say Jimbo Fisher is the worst coach in America.
Wow, you're
stupid. Rick Trickett should be fired at halftime. What is Charles Kelly doing? Defense coordinator is an idiot. You know, all of these things, I'll say it. And so there was at one point I tweeted, boy, I never thought I would wish for the day that Sean McGuire was in the game.
Wow.
And, but, I mean, this was right after two passes, easy throws that he short-armed and just put in the dirt. Actually, we can't even use the word dirt. That's the worst turf in America. I know it's some fancy AstroTurf. Players were bumbling and stumbling all over. One guy blew his knee out. Somebody warned me before that game, watch out for the turf monster at Camping World Stadium, and it was vicious that night.
How is it? That doesn't make any sense. It's a new stadium, for God's sake.
It actually jumped up and made Dalvin Cook fumble. I don't know if you noticed you do slow-mo replay, the carpet actually comes up and knocks the ball out.
That explains something that was previously inexplicable.
I don't want to think about what the other reason was. That's the first thought that crossed my mind. But anyway, the point is, I gave up. You know, Douglas, my son, said, you know, they can still come back. I was like, I barked at him as I usually do when I'm mad. I was like, you're crazy. How are they going to come back? Because if they score on every possession, they're still down 22 points at this point. At what point are they going to catch up? Because they're not going to stop Ole Miss. But here's a little bit of scoop for Florida State fans nobody else cares about. Talk to a Florida State guy today on the Buccaneer roster. Won't mention his name. It's not number three. So that only leaves, I think, two other guys. But this player was at the game on the sideline, and I said, why does this happen with Charles Kelly? You go back to the Oregon game and the Rose Bowl and a few other games. He says players in the first half, they would, you know, if they would make a good play, they're celebrating, they're high-fiving, they're saying, look at me, and Ole Miss is on the ball snapping again. So it took him a while to, which it's amazing that it took him a while, an entire half basically, to get it figured out. But also, this player said, because I said, it looks like Charles Kelly's slow getting the calls in. He says, no, he's not slow getting the calls in. What's slow is the players letting the rest of the team know exactly what the call is.
Right,
now,
spreading
it. You're a football guy.
I am.
I said at one point, just go in a damn base, you know, 4-3, a cover 2, or, you know, 4-3, just play, you know, play man. Because, you know, Charles Kelly does run a lot of exotic blitzes and different things like that. He'll bring the safety all the way up, run him off the edge, Derwin James. I mean, I like his style, but it's a lot to ask of 19, 20-year-old kids sometimes to be able to process this in that 30-second play clock, especially when you got a guy getting up on the ball, snapping the ball right away. So, but this player told me, this player's name rhymes with Javion Elliott, all right?
Okay.
Javion Elliott. He told me, he said, no, coach was getting the plays in. These guys were not getting. So the number one thing was not necessarily Jameis Winston's rah-rah speech, right?
Don't kill the news.
It was.
Don't stop it.
It was the adjustment made by you know, the defense getting the calls and getting them on the field and to the rest of the team in time. So anyway, that was the biggest difference.
Well, you have it. Biggest difference was that Florida State won, which is good. Funny little side story. I wanted to give a plug.
I don't know if you noticed this. They beat a team from the SEC, which I think most people thought couldn't have happened. But anyway, go ahead.
They did. I was just watching the other night, Last Chance U, which is phenomenal. If you have not watched it,
I haven't seen it yet. My son watched it. I guess
sick.
I'm gonna have to tune in.
It's really a good watch.
Now, let me ask you this: is it just one season this year?
It's one season this year. Yeah, there's I think six total episodes, and I'm biased because I have a player I used to coach who's in the episode. And what was funny is Kelly had gone from Clemson to there, and then come back. So it was a really good lead in. Anyway,
they were filming this a couple years ago though.
Last year.
But Kelly started last show. It was before last
year. Yeah. Okay. And he's not in this episode. He is interviewed as the Ole Miss quarterback, and they show film from when he went back.
Right. I understand.
All right, so let's move into the Bucks so that Bucko Pat will stop talking about the Seminoles in the chat room.
Seminoles, Pat.
And remind you guys, if you're going to watch the game this week, which we hope you all do, there are a couple places you can do that. One, in Atlanta. I know a bunch of Bucks fans who are making the trip up there. The ATL Bucks fan club, who is phenomenal, founded the same year, I believe, that we were. Mark Goodman and John Superfan
Mark
Blakely.
Mark Goodman, he used to produce Price is
Right. Price is Right, exactly.
Match Game.
With the stick mic.
Right.
They have a huge tailgate that they throw every year. You've got to make sure you get up there to their tailgate. They're doing a pregame party, I think, Saturday night as well. Get out to atlbucks.com and participate with those guys. I know we got a whole crew that's going up there. Make sure you get plenty of pictures and video because it's a great time. You can also attend the road rallies. A lot of our What the Buck peeps will be there. And there's another place you can go to watch these games as well. Mark, why don't you tell them a little bit about that spot?
Your house.
No. Oh, Jesus, no? I'm giving you a plug, for God's sakes. Don't you have a watch party?
Yeah, we've got a watch party this week at the Seminole Hard Rock and Casino.
Nice.
We're going to be in the cafe with the 18-foot projection screens. For those who are worried about the new $10 parking fee, that's going to be waived for...
Oh, you guys have some swing.
...people at the Pewter Report party. Some great drink specials. Two Henry's is going to be there again, passing out samples of some of their beers and cider.
By samples, you mean...
Free samples.
Gigantic barrels?
Probably little mini cups.
Okay.
But I'm not counting on who goes through the line more than once.
I gotcha.
Because I'll be through the line several times. But that'll be on Sunday. Starts at noon as far as the... as far as the drink and the dinner
festivities
go.
Sure.
And, you know, it's a great place to go hang out on a Sunday. Again, 18-foot screen. It's not quite as big as the one you have in your living room, but it's pretty good size. So,
you know,
it's pretty funny. And the thing is, there's TVs all around in the cafe as well. So, you know, even if you're not right down in front, you know, you can see the 18-foot, but there's also better angles and things like that on some of the other TVs. So, hope people will come hang out with us. You don't need the RSVP, but if you'd like to, put it on the message board. Let us know that you're coming. We're going to have a few giveaways, some raffles, some autograph things that we're going to give away as well.
Nice.
So looking forward to that. And as the season progresses, we're going to have some former players come out. Also, I'm not sure if we're going to have anybody out this week. And then next week for the Arizona game, we're actually going to be over at Legends Grill. One of our new advertisers, I should probably know this a little bit more. They're over in Clearwater, but a brand new sports establishment there. We're going to have our second watch party over in Clearwater for the people on the Pinellas side who don't want to drive. Then the rest, except for the final game of the year, which is on Christmas Eve, the rest of the games will be at the Seminole Hard Rock each Sunday and Thursday and Monday.
Whenever they happen to be.
Right.
They will roughly coincide with the actual games.
If there's another hurricane and they have to move it to a Wednesday, it'll be on a Wednesday.
So, Joe in the chat room, I agree. Thank God they have not shown the preseason replay of the final game with the Bucks because it was hideous. So what we'll do is we're going to move right past it. I'm going to hope that the Bucks exercised all their demons that particular night, got all of the crud out of their system, and we're going to move towards the Falcons. Now, a team in the Falcons, of course, you know, in the NFC South, we'll see them twice a year. A lot of folks, I know Bucks Princess just left the chat room, she absolutely hates the Falcons. A lot of people in Bucks Nation consider them their most hated rival. You know, you got a team up there. We got connections between Cutter and Smitty with the Falcons. We got a bunch of connections. Joe Hawley has a connection to the Falcons as well. Matty Ice. Yeah, Brent Grimes, absolutely. I used to hate Brent Grimes. Beat us 3 or 4 times by himself when he played there. So
beat us. I forgot you used to play for the team.
Oh, yeah. See, I still use those pronouns. Does it still confuse you? I'm sorry. I didn't mean
to get
you confused.
Just when you said beat us, I was trying to think, I don't, were you a defensive lineman? Were you a lineman?
Clearly, I was a kicker. I have the physique of a Sebastian Janikowski.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
exactly. But at any rate, you know, the Falcons, we see them twice a year. And last year, despite having a relatively bad year that ended up with a firing of a head coach, we swept them. So it was funny when I was watching some of the pregame stuff and the preview stuff, everyone's talking about how the Falcons schedule looks pretty brutal at the beginning, and this is their easiest matchup. But then quickly, every article I read said, yeah, but they swept us last year, mm-hmm. and they look like they're probably better. Mm-hmm. Matty Ice, you got Devontae Freeman, who you obviously know a bunch about there. Mm-hmm. You got new center coming in to hopefully stabilize their offensive line and protect Matty Ice, which was a problem last year, right? And then you got this little guy called Julio Jones.
Little guy.
So the offense has some firepower, right? Defensive side of the ball, something that Quinn should definitely be bringing some heat to. We got former Buccaneer agent Claiborne up there, who's a fan favorite here. Or in our group, anyway. I'm not saying the guy, you know, had ticker tape parades, but we liked him. I like Adrian a lot. You know, this is a team that we did a pretty good job of against last year. What are you expecting? Do you expect something different this year? What has happened in Atlantaville that makes us think that this is a tougher team? Or do you think that this is going to be more of the same from last year?
I think a lot of the same from last year. I mean, I think these are two fairly evenly matched football teams. I mean, they both have talent on both sides of the ball, but not necessarily, you know, 11 strong on both sides of the ball. But not many teams do. But, you know, I see a similar, you know, teams when I look at this. A team in Atlanta that's got a veteran quarterback, but their franchise quarterback in Matt Ryan. And an ace number one receiver. And you look on the other side of the ball, the Buccaneers, Phil Jameis is their guy. And Mike Evans, to me, is poised to have a huge, huge year if he stays healthy. I think he's going to really blow up and impress a lot of people, even more so than he has his first 2 years in the league. But no, similar teams, and I think you're going to see similar games. I believe both those games. I know the first one, Atlanta, was very close, went down to the wire. That was an overtime game, wasn't it?
I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I don't even remember. I barely remember your name.
I remember Gerald McCoy with his arms wrapped around Matt Ryan's knee and Matt throwing incomplete, I think, on fourth down, and the Buccaneers won because I was thinking to myself, the first thing I thought of was, where's the flag, right? Touch a guy, you know, below the waist and above the boobs, and it's pretty much a penalty in this league. So that was my first concern, but the yellow flag didn't fly. The Buccaneers ended up winning that game. Gosh, I don't remember. I mean, I know they won the second game here in Tampa, but I certainly wasn't a blowout. I think you'll see a similar game. I think that both teams can score some points. I think the Buccaneer defense, though, may be a little bit better. I think they're a little bit better talent-wise when you look at them on paper. I don't know how they're going to do in their very first game, you know, 80 plays. I mean, these guys played fairly well pretty good when the first team units were out during the preseason. You know, there were a few gaps from time to time in the running game, and, you know, Brent Grimes gambled a couple times, and Jacksonville got burned one time. Brent's going to gamble on Julio, we know that, but Brent's also going to come up with the ball a lot of these times, too. I mean, he's a crafty, wily veteran. He knows Matt Ryan, and I asked Matt about that specifically in a conference call today, and he says, yeah, they used to have some good battles in practice, and he said he's, you know, one of the most athletic people he's ever been around. Brent's going to have his hands full if he happens to be the one on Julio, but that would make the most sense to me. I think both teams can move the ball. I think it's going to come down to a few defensive stands, and I like the Buccaneers' opportunity. I like their chances a little bit better. I think this defense is really hungry. I think Mike Smith is, knows that personnel very well, although, you know, it's not as, you know, the entire team's still there, but sure. He knows Matt Ryan, he knows Julio, and he knows a lot of these guys on this team. So he's going to, he wants to win this game. I mean, this is a team that fired him, and all coaches downplay that, but make no mistake, you've got a little bit in the back of your mind, extra juice. Now, I said it today. I was on the Pewter panel on Buccaneers.com, which will be out on Friday. But I said it. It's okay. Mike Smith is not spending an extra 3 or 4 hours a night because it's Atlanta, because he wants to beat him so bad. But it's just human nature, right? I mean, you want to prove to the people who fired you. You want to prove to your ex-girlfriend you're still good-looking. You want to prove to, your boss who fires you at the insurance company. And,
right.
You know, that they made a mistake. And
more important than the you want to. Right. It seems like what has sort of happened, and what happens a lot of times, is the team has taken on that desire for their coach. And Smith, right. You know, one of the things we talked about in training camp was he's clearly already built some strong connections with the players on the team. Mm-hmm. And like any good leader, whether it's in sports or in corporate world or whatever, your team wants to help you if you're doing a good job. If you're a leader and not a boss,
right,
which is an interesting difference there. But if you're a leader, the people who are on your team always want to support you. And I joke around all the time when you have that kind of relationship. I know people who never get mad, no matter how much people attack them. But if you attack someone that they care about, it's a wrap, right? Now it's going to go down. And that's the way.
That's entirely not true of Pewter Report, who nobody that works under me would ever try and do anything to support me or want to win for me. Just go ahead.
I would.
I'm the exception to the rule.
Understood. And I think that probably comes from where you're from, Plant City. But at any rate, the want to win for Mike thing is a real thing, right? And you want to set the tone. Now, I tweeted last night, I will say that I had imbibed a little bit of the Tito's vodka in the hot tub.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it was all the way live in the hot tub. No, I had some Tito's vodka. But I got to tell you, it's one step short of one of those. I went to the mountaintop and I had a vision, old school Kevin Sullivan. Please tell me you know who Kevin Sullivan is from Championship Wrestling from Florida.
Yeah.
He went totally crazy and he'd do the visions and all that?
Yeah.
I am not one who predicts season outcomes. That's not my thing. Because everyone ends up going back to math, right? I feel really strong about the first game of this year. Mm-hmm. Right? The first three games of this year, in fact. I think that there's a legitimate chance we could be playing our first home game with a 2-0 record. And I don't know how this town would react to that, and in a good way. Because people are like, oh, the Cardinals, they're so powerful. Listen, I watched some of the Cardinals preseason. Carson Palmer can be a very good quarterback. I don't know that he's going to be consistently a very good quarterback because he may be 96 years old at this point, and his knees don't actually exist anymore.
No.
He has just stick legs.
Right.
So I don't want to get into the Cardinals game, but I do want to say, listen, guys, this excitement is very real. I am not manufacturing this. For some reason, and I can't put my finger on it, I am excited about this game, and I'm excited about the defense. Now, I'm scared, and I want to get I want to get you in two areas here. One, defensively first, what I saw that scared the hell out of me again in the game that shall not be spoken of much, when Noah Spence and Jack Smith were, and I got to clarify, I've heard people say Jack and Jacquees. I think it's Jacquees properly, but does yes. he go by Jack? Is this one of the things where I want to call him like Chuck Sims, be cool?
You love he called him Jack because I don't think
Lovey could pronounce Jacquees. Okay, so yeah. All right. So Jacquees Smith and Noah Spence, when we go in, and I don't know if they have a name for that configuration. I call it our speed set. But when they go in and ends, they got absolutely curb stomped in that game, right? They could not maintain the edge. It was impossible. They were never going to set an edge to protect the running game. We cannot have that happen because Devontae Freeman does not suck.
No, Noah Spence is not going to be on the field on most of the first and second downs, right? I mean, he's not a guy that's going to set the edge. I can't say, but I was in the open locker room the other day when the players had to come in on Monday and get on the scale for one of the coaches, and I'm not going to say how much he weighed, but I was blown away. I mean, this guy, you know, and I don't know that his frame will allow him, how much more weight it'll allow him to put on. It's hard to say. But you know, look, he could set the edge. I mean, but over a course of 60 plays, the guy's going to get beat up. And when the fourth quarter comes around, he's not going to have anything left. You don't want that to happen with a guy who's a speed, you know, edge pass rusher.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of rotations with that defensive line. Jacquees is the same way. I mean, we saw him last year be a liability at times setting the edge.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they've got guys that can do that. Will Golston right now technically Stout. Is first on the depth chart on the defensive end ahead of Jacquees. So we'll see, you know, what they do. But Mike is going to bring a lot of guys in and out. And you know, I think we'll see Noah move over, but be on the field on obvious passing downs on the edge, and Robert Ayer slips inside. We saw some of that during the preseason and in camp. You know, Will Golson will be in on running downs on the other end at times. You know, they've got some ideas, but no, you're not. Noah Spence is light. He's very, very light. I was blown away at how light he was when he got on the scale. I'm not going to say, but it was.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, don't tell us how tall he really is. I mean, all those numbers are crazy.
Basically, he weighs about what one of your legs weigh.
These things happen, right? So if he wants to work out with me, he can come on over. No. Let's get on to the other side of the ball, though. Offensive line, we've had some injuries. Do we have any updates on Ali Marpet? Do we have any updates on Kevin Pamphile, his health? What's going on with the offensive line? Because this was a position of concern that moved to a position of strength.
Everybody played at practice today. I mean, the only person.
Everybody practiced.
I mean, Luke Stocker, I think, didn't practice today. I think he was the only one. He's got a little bit of a back injury. But, you know, the offensive line is, you know, they're as healthy as really they've been since the start of camp. I mean, we're still taking J.R. Sweezy out of the equation because he's not available. But I think the offensive line will be fine. You know, that's something Munkin talked about today was the versatility of this offensive line. He loves the situation that he has with Holly and with Evan Smith. You know, he loves the way Pamphile can move around. He feels very solid at tackles, you know, with DeMar and Donovan, and then also Allie at the other guard position. So, you know, they've got an opportunity to get these guys in there, kind of what they were hoping to at the beginning of the year. Again, we're not talking about Sweezy. We're just going to say that's Pamphile's job for now, and JR may not get it back even if he comes back, depending on how Kevin plays. Buccaneers think he's going to play just fine. Dirk's always said that. He has no problem putting Kevin in there, and he feels comfortable there. So
Next man up.
And Kevin was pissed when they signed JR. I mean, I don't remember who told me that.
Get
if it was
pissed.
Jason or Dirk or somebody said. I mean, he was very unhappy because he thought that was his job. He thought he had earned that opportunity. But they loved Kevin's ability to be that swing guy, and you can only dress a certain amount on – or you only dress a certain amount of offensive linemen on game day. So, you know, having a couple guys that can play multiple positions is crucial. Anyway, so the point is I don't think there's any issues with the health of the offensive line. You know, Marpet seems fine. Pamphile's fine. You know, we'll see if they can continue that, but they're fine. Yeah, I'm not worried about the offensive line right now.
That is making me even more excited because if the offensive line is healthy, right, we had a nice little healthy chat going on over here in the chat room about Doug Martin not getting nearly enough for a guy that was in the rushing title race to the last game last year, right? no one seems to give a crap that he plays for this team, right? Aside from going too deep with Chuck Sims, right? No one seems to give any consideration to the fact that this is a team who knows how to run the ball. And that really is sort of the hallmark of a solid offense. Jameis Winston all of a sudden can do anything he wants on the field if we know we can get 4-point-something yards a carry.
It opens up so much, you know, and people that have watched football and coach football understand that it just opens up the playbook when you can effectively
Absolutely.
Run the football. And I think that's still going to be a strength of this offensive line. If you're going to pick what they're better at, I would still say run blocking versus pass blocking. And you know, they know they've got to protect Jameis better. Now, he only got sacked, I think, 26 times last year, but he got hit as much as anybody really in the league. That's got to change, and that's been an emphasis. We'll see how that goes. But you know, they're going to be able to run the football. I don't see any reason why they can't run the football. And you're right, Doug Martin is – I realized how underappreciated he was by a lot of fans when, you know, he was in the middle of his contract situation. And if I hear dime a dozen one more time,
good Lord.
Dime a dozen, yes, there are multiple dime a dozen running backs in the NFL. But Doug Martin was the second leading rusher. If they're all dime a dozen, why wasn't the 30th ranked rusher the second in the league? You know what I mean? They're not just interchangeable like that. And Doug had a special year last year. He had a special year as a rookie year. He does things that other running backs can't do. You know, hopefully this continues because he's had the great year, then two down years, then a great year last year. But if he stays healthy, I think he'll be fine. Now, I still think Charles Sims is going to get a few of Doug's carries, but not too many of them, just because you don't pay Doug Martin the money that you gave him, you know, to take away carries. But I think you're going to see Charles Sims on the field a little bit more last year. Certainly as an option as a receiver, and you know, he's a talented football player that you got to get the ball in his hands. And again, when you're talking about a wide receiver, you know, position or unit that is fairly thin, you know what I mean? You got to utilize all your weapons, and they're going to be able to do that. And by the way, yes, before somebody mentions it in the chat room, the curse of the Pewter Report training camp diaries.
I wasn't even going to bring it up.
Struck again with our good friend Danny Vitale. Sorry, Dan. But anyway, unfortunately,
it's going to be
now,
like the Madden cover, man.
Yeah,
people,
no,
you're going to approach him, and people
year,
are going to be like,
yeah,
"Nah, man, I'm not going
to
do that."
Yeah, no, I'm going to have to start looking for undrafted free agent tryout players in April, you know, and go ahead and book them right then before they realize about the PR curse.
Yeah, that's trouble. So let's talk a little bit. There was a new depth chart released as well. So let's talk a little bit about that, because apparently people thought that was interesting. Vernon Hargraves moving up a little bit conceptually on that depth chart, as well as ASJ moving up a little bit conceptually on that depth chart. Does this administration, does a depth chart like that really carry a lot of weight with them, or is this one of those things where they're simply explaining what their substitution
yeah.
patterns are going to be?
Yeah, they got to, you know, the NFL
requires them to do
out,
it,
so
right.
They're going to pencil some names in. I wouldn't worry too much about who's where and those things. I mean, the 11 on either side, that's pretty much your guys. But after that, you know,
so we can't play 12. I was really hoping we could slip in that extra player.
Occasionally you can, and occasionally you can get a fifth down.
Nice.
If you're Colorado.
Nice.
I think. Wasn't that Colorado?
It's college football. I don't care.
Yeah, that's true. You don't. But the bottom line is, oh boy. The bottom line is, I use the bottom line a lot.
You do.
I'm
and
tired.
You also use, you and Ross both do, and again.
And
even
again.
If you didn't say anything before, it's your transition phrase.
Right, right.
And again.
Well,
but
I usually do that when you're not paying attention. I get when you start typing on that keyboard and I know that you're not listening to me,
dude, I always
then it gets
to you.
In my head, and then I kind of ramble, and then I say stuff like,
you kind of ramble. No, yeah. Say it ain't so.
Send me home.
Oh,
principal.
Stop it. Oh, God, now he's going to be hurt again, this little guy.
Where's Fisher? Why isn't he here?
He's at BYOCB.
You can't bring him over very often. You don't have enough Tito's vodka.
Oh, I got plenty
guy.
Of Tito's vodka. Don't worry about it. Who's the third down back, or the third running back now that James is gone? Ask Buck Boy. There was some discussion about Jacquizz Rodgers, the former Atlanta Falcon, who both Mark and I liked quite a bit. But right now it's Peyton Barber's, I understand it. Was that that's actually an official thing? He's been promoted from the P squad to active, yeah?
I didn't check my emails the hour before I came here. About 6 o'clock, it wasn't official
okay.
that I saw. But if Greg says it, then it's pretty official.
Yeah, Greg doesn't usually miss this one.
Greg Brady.
You know what? It's funny. You mentioned Riley on Twitter. He's actually a really good follow. Like, I started interacting with him.
Yeah,
he is a super... How old is Riley?
13.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
You would not know that by what he does on Twitter.
I'd hire him tomorrow if there weren't child labor laws.
Well, you should definitely do that, and then maybe he would fight for you since no one else does.
Yeah, he wouldn't. He's a Gators fan.
Oh, well, all right. So keys to the game. Let's talk a little bit about keys to the game. You guys, if you have questions for Mark or myself, make sure you put them in the chat room. We'll try and address those as we meander through this this rambling opening show, but I've enjoyed it so far. And so as long as I've enjoyed it, really, that's the important part.
I haven't.
Well, you never enjoy it. You always look just miserable. I can give you a drink, though, man. Come on, let's do it.
Are you going to drive me home or are you going
to... No, just sleep here in the window seat, right, man. There's plenty of room here.
Let's go.
All right. Keys to the game. You know, it's funny. After 11 years of doing this, the keys always end up being the same shit, right?
Yeah. Run the ball. Protect the passer.
But dominate the trenches. Right. Don't turn over the ball. Win the turnover battle.
Right, right.
But realistically, when you look at what this team is trying to become...
By the way, we don't do a keys to victory. We did, but we don't do that anymore because you're right. I mean, by... You know, week 12, you want to shoot yourself or just reprint what you wrote the week before.
Yeah, just copy and paste.
Right.
But when you look at the fundamentals, the trenches are really where this team is going to be made or broken. I think the excitement for Bucks fans is we think that there's an offensive line here that can be dominant and allow the running backs that we have. Well, with that, you just rednecked this show up even better with that.
I mean,
you just rednecked it up by packing your dip on the mic. That was phenomenal.
Did the mic
for anyone who did not pick that up.
Oh, sorry.
That sound you just heard was Mark packing his dip.
Now listen to this sound.
It was all. I'm brought right back to the 863.
You're going to go left side or right side?
Right, man, you can do whatever you want, brother. I'll tell you what.
I'm going left side. It's not as raw as the other side. Dippers will understand what I'm talking
probably
about.
Probably nothing wrong
when
with that.
You're spitting up blood on one side. It's time to shift the dip to the other side.
Yeah, that's exactly what you need to do is shift it. That's a good call.
Yeah.
So the trenches, right? On offense, we got to be able to run the ball. We got to be able to let Jameis do what he does and take those shots that hopefully he'll be able to connect on more of than he did last year on the deeper shots, right? That's one of those things that we watched during preseason. It's one of those things that we need to...
Well, what's great about Jameis, and you and I bring it up all the time, is if teams decide... We're not going to give you one-on-one opportunities on the outside. We're going to roll safeties over or however you want to handle the coverage. That just opens up, to me, his strength, and that is hitting those deep seams and crossing patterns and things like that. That's, you know, that's wonderful. Again, it all starts with running the football, because if you don't run the football, then they can do a lot of different things coverage-wise. But I mean, if the teams decide, and there will be games when they're going to say, you know what, especially if Mike or Vincent have a big game
absolutely.
The week before, the next week, okay, we're not going to get beat this way. But that's fine. That's fine, because Jameis is going to, you know, hit a slot receiver going down the seam. Adam Humphries should have some big games this year if that's the case. And Cecil Shorts and, Dante. No, never mind. I'm kidding, Dante. Hopefully he'll be back after his injury. It's possible, right?
Who?
They waived him, but they could bring him back as a kick returner later in the season.
Oh, Dante Dye?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could later.
Yeah. But anyway, but I mean, I, you know,
I'm I had sorry. Already I forgotten mean, his name. I was like, Jesus, who are you talking about? Dante from Clerks?
Dantea. D-O-N-T-E-E-A. It took me a year
it's
and a half.
It's a strange
to
one.
How to spell it, and they cut him.
The thing we don't talk about much, because to be honest, he hasn't been active on Twitter, but the reality is the tight end position in this offense with this quarterback is something that does matter, whether it's Cam Brate or whether it's Luke Stocker or whether it's ASJ or whether it's whoever the hell else we got, apparently Alan Cross. You know, and then you know, Brandon Myers, who's the mystery tight end. Those guys are that route, right? That skinny seam is a route that Jameis loves. They practiced extensively in training camp with getting it over the under coverage and in front of the over coverage.
Right.
It's a tough throw, but it's funny because Jameis seems to make it very well, and it's a big one.
When you watch football games, from a television set or even from the sideline up in the stands, it's easy to see that. And a lot of times guys are open for a split second and you're like, oh, I throw the ball there. There's a guy right there. But when you look at it from the quarterback's perspective, Jameis just has a knack for processing football at that angle. Does that make any sense to you?
It does.
Because when I look at it, when I watch that from behind the quarterback view, I think to myself, how in the world? But it's so much of it, number one, is repetition, chemistry, and anticipation. Those three things are so crucial. And he just anticipates where his receivers is going to be, and he has confidence that he can make that throw.
Well, and beyond where his receivers are going to be, it's football IQ, right? So he if he's going to make that throw, it's also because he knows what coverage they're in,
and
he knows
who's
not supposed to be there.
Right.
That's what happens.
And he processes so quickly the line of scrimmage, identifying who's going to be on who and where the favorable matchup should be.
Right.
And you know who used to throw that same ball very good? Just thought about it. Steve DeBerg. That's because Steve DeBerg couldn't throw anything longer than about 25 yards.
No, he made Ken Dorsey look like Vince Young.
but man, he was good at those seams to the tight end.
He was.
I don't know why that just popped in my head.
I don't know why. I haven't heard of Steve DeBerg in ages, but he also had a pretty good play action. That's a nice reference.
Amazing, amazing. And he liked to drink Tito's vodka, I heard.
Well, hey, that's good for him. So let's get to our predictive MVPs. You guys over in the chat room, if you want to throw those into the chat room, we'll try and get yours out here as well. If you've already done that, I apologize. Maybe Spent can remind me of a couple of them. But we do this every pregame show for those of you who are new to the What the Buck podcast.
We do it every show, even in the off season when there's no games. I remember you asking me predictive MVP in training camp.
I had OTAs, to do something to make you interesting.
In rookie,
good Lord, for God's sake,
Mark.
Rookie
free agent tryouts.
My back is sore from carrying
my
you sometimes,
skull,
you know?
My skull and my dud or whatever you call
you
them.
You still don't understand what skulls and swords are. It's amazing.
No.
Good Lord.
I've crossed swords.
That is dangerous at times. All right.
I mean, I was like seven, but still.
On the offensive side of the ball, who are you expecting big things out of this week from the Buccaneers?
I'm going to go with Mike Evans. He's my guy. I don't know why. Maybe I'm delusional. Maybe he has four catches for 48 yards. But I just think just talking to Mike, and I've spent a little bit of time with him, you know, just kind of off the record, this guy's laser focused, and that's important. And Todd Monken talked about that again today, that, you know, he did the things this offseason that, you know, that should help him be a better football player, meaning his diet, taking care of his body, coming back in town to work out with these guys. Those are crucial things. This guy, again, I'm going to go back and say he's a football newbie in a sense, right? 1 year of high school, 2 years of college, now 2 years in the NFL. I mean, that's let me do my Plant City math. That's a two.
Carry the
two,
six.
And you add the one, that would be five. You know, my son's played 7 years of football, and he's 15. You know, again, obviously at a different level, but I'm just saying the awareness that you have to know about football, and it only comes from playing it. You can look at a chalkboard, a whiteboard, you can watch film all you want, but being out on a football field, there's no substitution for it. And I think it's so crucial, you know, in this sport more than maybe any other professional sport, maybe soccer. But, I mean, situational awareness, because you've got 11 other guys on your team and then 11 other guys trying to stop you on the other team. So you got 22 bodies running around out there. And so my point is, as I ramble on, is Mike's going to have a monster year if he stays healthy. I really, truly believe that. And I think it starts this week in Atlanta.
Well, and no better team to do that against than the guy who I think he should be modeling his game after. He's not going to be Julio Jones is a unique athlete.
Yeah.
We're very fortunate to get to watch him in his prime. What Julio can do on the football field is pretty special. Mike Evans can do similar things. Maybe not the same things, but
right.
He is a physically imposing receiver.
Mm-hmm.
If he ever decides to flip that switch and just determine, listen, there's not a cornerback or a safety who's going to stop me. If the ball's there, it is mine. And I'm going to injure whoever tries to stop me from getting it.
You know, he took a lot of heat last year for
playing small.
A little too edgy at times, right? Getting kicked out of that Carolina game and getting frustrated. You know, and that was probably crossing the line a little bit, cursing an official. But
it's,
you know,
frowned upon
to
sometimes.
To me, it's I don't know. Maybe I'm just an a-hole. But, you know, I want, like Jimbo said one time when I asked him about Jameis at Jameis's pro day, I'd rather have to say slow down than giddy up. And there's no, you don't ever have to tell Mike Evans to giddy up. He's giddy up all the time. And you know, he wants to be good, and he takes things personal, he's got to be able to separate and handle the mental part of things and not let it affect his play. But playing with an edge, I don't have a problem with that at all. And you know, I don't think I complained. I don't think he complained to the officials one time last year that I wasn't yelling the same thing in my mind that, you know, he should have been. Sometimes these bigger guys tend to not get the calls, you know what I mean? Oh, he's bigger, he can out-jump the guy, blah, blah, blah. You know, look, and if one more damned commentator says that was a good no-call, I'm going to drive to wherever they are and slap them. Because as a football coach, and you know this, yes, okay, you argue with officials on the sideline all the time, or I did anyway when I coached
Absolutely.
High school football, but it's a penalty or it's not a penalty. I had a high school official tell me one time, we were terrible. In 2000, I was the offensive coordinator for the JV team of the Plant City Raiders, and strictly ninth graders. Anybody that was worth a damn that was 10th grader was on the varsity squad that year. And when we struggled, and we had a game, our first game against East Bay, and they were kicking our ass. But in the second half, we had a long run, which it had nothing to do with the blocking. The blocking was terrible. Our running back just made something out of nothing, about 80 yards. And about 30 yards behind him, one of our offensive linemen nailed a guy in the back. I mean, the thing that makes you crazy as a coach, right? Why would you do that? It's 30 yards behind the play.
Right.
The official threw the flag. And I jumped all over the official, saying the same thing that fans say, That's BS. You know, it didn't affect the play. There's no way the guy's going to catch it. And the official said, it was a penalty. My job is to call and enforce penalties. And you know what? That made an impression on me. I can't stand, you know, and they said it in the game against the Florida State game. I think that was a good no call. No, it's not a good no call. It's either pass interference, defensive holding, or it's not. You know, it either is or it's not. You know, to say, because the NFL a few years ago made an emphasis that any contact past 5 yards was going to be an illegal contact play, a holding or a pass interference. But then, and they did it in the preseason. Remember the preseason?
Absolutely.
Flag City. And the season started and they just went back to doing their other thing. It either is or it isn't. And on top of that, you have crews who interpret the rules differently, yeah, too. And it's very frustrating. So for a guy like Mike Evans, I said all of this that nobody gives two damns.
No, I think they all, they're on the edge of their seats in the chat room.
No,
I can see
not.
It virtually.
They're not. They've already turned it off.
No,
we've
got thousands of people here.
The point is, he deserved. I mean, I thought in that first game against the Eagles, you know, I think he got held. I think the guy grabbed his jersey, but, you know, they didn't call it. So whatever.
Well, and there's been a concerted effort from the NFL for the last at least five, potentially longer than that, years to take all of the subjectivity out of calls. You can't. If you make it one of those black and white things where any contact after 5 yards is a penalty, guess what? We don't finish another game.
Well, that's true, but I mean, and okay, your arm bumps his arm, you know, but again, a grasping of a jersey, a hooking of the arm.
Absolutely.
You know
what
I mean?
But in your game the other night, though, right, I forgot which player it was, coming around from behind, now you're allowed to put your arm, you're allowed to put your hand on the trail arm or the lead arm of the receiver, essentially, right, as long as you don't turn their body. It used to be you couldn't do that at all.
Well, that was, you know, I don't know if that's allowed. That was the way that Herb Street, who sometimes I think he drinks in the booth, was trying to say the rule is. And they had an official, you know, a Mike Pereira type guy who was, you know, chiming in from time to time. But, you know, look, I mean, they didn't officially change that rule. They didn't officially change the rule book where you can't have your arm on this guy as long as you don't turn him. That's not in the rule book. That's maybe the way that they're interpreting it, or maybe they're telling their officials, you know, this is the way we want you to call them. Yes. Yes, in football, in more so than any sport, yes, you could probably call a flag on 90% of, you know, if you watch all 22 guys, you know, and you're right, and nobody wants to see that in the NFL. I get that part of it, but the old swallow the whistle in the last 2 minutes too,
yeah, that's
pisses
crap.
Me off, because that's the most crucial
yeah.
time.
Yeah,
that's
let's ignore the rules.
Yes, exactly. You know,
no, so
good no call. I'm not very smart, but isn't that an oxymoron?
The only time I think good no call is okay is if it's a contested play. Like let's take pass interference for example. If both the corner and the receiver are jockeying for position and it's equal, it's give and take. You don't call it, right? That's part of the game.
You're right.
But if they're gaining an advantage, then that's the penalty.
Right.
They used an illegal play to gain advantage.
Exactly.
You clowns.
I mean, if they snuck the 12th guy in that you would love to see.
Listen, I would love to see that happen.
Know,
the Jets almost
say,
got
well,
away with that.
You know what? He didn't really do anything on the play, so we're not going to call a penalty. Bull spit. You got to call the penalty.
Well, bull spit is solid. Now, we had a couple people in here with Evans and McCoy as the MVPs from day one, Rick H., Doug and Noah from Brian Dory, offensive MVP Dougie, defensive MVP Hargraves from Bucko Pat.
Come on, Bucko Pat.
He's not going to go with Jameis. Come on. It's too obvious.
He doesn't
have
to go with Jameis, but why is he going with Hargraves?
Why do you have to hate Vernon, man? Why?
He's not going to be on the field as much as other defenders.
Interesting.
I mean, I guess, okay, I'm going to try and get in Bucko Pat's mind. Matt Ryan.
I don't know if you really want to do that, man.
No,
I'm going to go ahead and warn you.
I don't, because I don't need any more restraining orders. But I was going to say.
Anymore.
I don't need to be registered on any more registries. But but the point is that, and what was the other thing that I say all the time that me and Bart say?
And again.
And
by
the
way,
you just got called the bottom line
JBF.
Is,
by the way, bull spit.
No, I get that from Dubing, not from JBF. Nice try.
Right.
But
just punch Shooker in the face next time you see him.
Yeah, in his bald head. Actually, I owe him money, so I won't slap him. But the point is, and again, the bottom line is, it's
again.
As simple as that. I don't even remember what we were talking about.
I have no idea.
I was trying to get
about.
In the mind of him saying that, you know, maybe
he was talking about Hargraves.
They don't want to throw Brett Grimes, whether Hargraves should have more opportunities, blah, blah, blah. I don't know about that. I picked for our Peter Report, did our predictions this year, this week, and it'll be coming out this over the next couple of days. Today was our record prediction, but we also did our leading interceptor, offensive MVP, defensive MVP, and leading sacker. And anyway, my guy was Grimes on the interception type deal. I just think that, you know, he's a gambler, right? All right, gamblers win a lot of money and they lose a lot of money. He's going to win, I think, more money than he loses, and that equates into interceptions, and I think he leads his team in picks this year.
I'm glad you said that, because there's a heated debate going on right now in the chat room where various people are essentially saying that Brent Grimes is done. He's over the hill. He makes Courtland Finnegan look spry.
What?
Yeah, there's a lot of hate towards Brent Grimes right now in the chat room.
It's all Miko related. I'm not.
No, it's not at all. No,
well, I'm saying it has to be a bias because if you.
No,
well,
they say he only got to play 1-1 in the preseason. He got burnt like toast. That's what's going on.
You know what? Then let's. I guess. Mike Smith and John Hoke and these guys, you know, didn't watch any practice, any film. Didn't see how he studied. You know, none of
well,
those things.
You know, you cannot
that
use
matters.
That argument because
that
the head coaches and the coaching staff last year.
He gave up a touchdown against Jacksonville. You got to be kidding me.
Well, if I don't disagree with you at the end result, but your rationale is faulty, because if you just say because coaches put him on the field as the starter, he's got to be good, then every starter is really good. Right? No.
He's the best starter. They wouldn't put him on the damn field. These guys have to win. Football games.
Listen, clearly they are biased.
I mean,
clearly they are biased somehow.
You know, I mean, they want to win more than the players. I'm going to say it right now. The coaches want to win more than the players. There you go.
Interesting. Well, is it?
I'm not saying on this team. Maybe the Buccaneer players want to win. Nobody wants to win more than Jameis. I'll say that. But Dirk Cutter is pretty damn close.
I know he didn't say that Finnegan looks spry, but it was better for the podcast for me to say that. I thought it was funny, but I am in the Grimes camp where I think he's going to be very solid. I definitely agree with Mark's point about him being a gambler. I think that when defensive backs age, they have to get better in the film room. Rondé showed us that. You have to know what's going on to try and anticipate, which is good.
But you've just seen everything.
Right.
He's seen everything. Matt Ryan is not going to do anything that he hasn't seen 1,000 times in this league. Now, Matt Ryan might still be able to do it better. Julio Jones might still be able to do it better than Brent Grimes, and he may lose some. But he's going to win a lot, too.
Well, it's going to be an interesting year for sure with Brent Grimes out there. Now, you said that Hargraves isn't going to be seeing the field very much, but with the new and improved depth chart.
I didn't mean it. I'm just saying, of the outside corners, because they're not going to be in nickel all the time, and I think we're going to see Vernon in nickel position.
How is Smith looking in practice, in as much as you can see him in practice?
Which one?
Daryl.
Not very. We don't see him very much in practice at all. I mean, going back to Jacksonville.
Then I bet we're going to be in nickel a lot more than you think.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they wanted any of the other linebackers on there as much as.
But even if they're in nickel 65% of the time, which is really norm in this league these days, 60 to 65%, that still is, you know, again, using the Plant City math, 100 minus 65, you bring 35% of the time, Vernon's not going to be on the field.
75% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
Always. Every time.
All right, defensive side of the ball. Who are you calling out as the man?
Is this a skull or a numbskull?
Dude, don't do skulls and swords until after the game. Good God, we've been doing this together forever. This is predictive MVPs.
All right. What for who? What? Defense?
Defense. You said there's going to be Mike Evans on the offensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be on defense?
I think that Quan Alexander is going to just blow up. He had a great game last year against the Falcons.
Boy, did he.
You know,
one of the best highlights I had seen to that point.
You know, obviously he was dealing with a tragedy, and he was playing with a certain motivation that you know, we can't really comprehend. But, you know, I think he's going to have a hell of a game. I really do. And, you know, Gerald may end up with 2 sacks in this game, but I think Quan's going to affect this game as much as anybody. These linebackers love this defense. They love the ability to make plays. And I'm not going to say freelance, but they're not quite as lassoed into a specific you don't leave this area type thing. Now, again, that's a gamble. That's going to expose you sometimes. But it's also, in my opinion, going to create turnovers, get the quarterback off his spot, tackles for loss, those kind of things that we saw more in the Shiano years than we did in the Lovie Smith years.
Right. More freelancing. Freelancing isn't even the right word. More flexibility.
Right.
Yeah, because it's not freelancing.
Right. Mike Smith trusts Lavonte David, in other words.
Make your call. Right. And like they used to say in the old days, you know, fire your gun. Right.
You can do it. Don't F it up.
Yeah.
You better, if you do, if you go rogue.
The eye in the sky don't lie, Sap.
If you go rogue, you better make a play.
You better make that tackle. Yep. Exactly. I am, you know, I forgot who it was who tweeted us the other night, who do we think is going to get the first sack of the season for the Bucks in regular.
Which was such a weird question.
It was, I thought it was a really interesting angle, though.
That's like saying who's going to score the first points in the Super Bowl.
Dude, there's lines in Vegas
on it.
That's
what I'm talking about. This guy obviously is thinking Vegas.
Well, maybe he is. Maybe he's in Vegas. Who did you say?
I said Ayers.
You said Ayers, that's right. Yeah. And I said Jack Smith, according to Lovie Smith. Jacquees Smith. I think he's going to have a big game. It's funny because I think that early in the year, Smith gets a chance. People, for some reason, do not respect his speed, and they should.
He's better on the turf. We've seen it. His biggest
all
games,
speed guys are better on the turf. Back in the Styles White days, anytime we played on turf, because people forget what an athlete that guy was.
Right.
You put those speed guys on turf, hey, it's a whole different game, guys. Mm-hmm. So I think that Jacquees Smith is going to be the guy that pops out this week, and he's going to be my defensive predictive MVP. Let's move on to the score prediction. Rick H. says it is, in fact, a prop bet that I assume is in Vegas, but I don't bet on things like that. This week, the beloved Buccaneers travel to Atlanta to try and open the season 1-0. Mark, do you believe that the Bucs come back from Atlanta to briefly see their families and then travel out to Arizona? 1-0 or 0-1?
I'm going to say they're going to tie.
Oh, you're a wily vet.
I'm going to say it's 50-50.
I think they're going to end the season 8-8 because I know math.
I think they win this game. I do.
Nice. 27-23. In the chat room, Rick H. has weighed in with a Bucks 43, Falcons 34 game.
Well, he doesn't have a lot of confidence in stopping Julio.
No, that's the interesting thing. Callum Shaw says 27-17 Bucks. 27-24 Bucks. Aguayo kicking a game winner, which would be good for his self-confidence, mm-hmm. obviously. I do see the Bucks winning this game. I do not see it being as close as a 27-24 game. I do see our defense doing some special things. I think that the mid-20s is probably the right number. We'll call it 27 because everyone else is doing it. 27-13, Bucks win.
All right.
But I think that the special thing here, I say us all the time, man, just get used to it. Let it wash over you. I'm going to keep using personal pronouns. No, I never played for the Buccaneers. No, I probably wouldn't qualify as a trainer for the Buccaneers. Get the hell over it. I'm going to use personal pronouns. If you've been with us for any period of time and I can use that us correctly, then you're used to it. In fact, the only thing that's shocking anyone is that we're not swearing because we would like our partners in Pew Report to cross-promote, and they can't do that on their website if I speak like I normally do.
And I don't know why I had to use the herpes reference earlier. I was thinking to myself, I already killed this.
No, you're.
You
why is
that?
Out?
I don't know.
Dude, what is wrong with that? You can't use. Come on, man. That's like not being able to stand. Or not having to stand at the national anthem. Oh, should we start talking about that?
Fever blister medication on the way home.
Oh, stop it. I think the herpes thing is funny. It's nothing wrong with it. We're not using F-bombs and things like that. It's all good.
Remember what Eddie Murphy said?
What?
The herpes came along and you carry that around like luggage. Isn't that what he said?
I don't remember.
Come on. Somebody's got to remember that. You're an old school comedian guy.
I am. Delirious was awesome, but I don't remember that reference. Bucks score over 40 points this week, says Rick H. Anyone want to take his bet? Someone make that guy put something on that. Skip Brown is actually in the chat room. Has been for quite some time. 34-17 Bucks. 34-20 according to MJ Horan. Falcons score late to make it look a little more respectable, but I'm calling a beatdown. 30-14 says Shucker. Nice stuff, man. The chat room has been very active tonight. I want to thank you guys for joining in the chat room. We're wrapping things up for this show. I do want to remind you guys of a couple of things while we're getting ready to get into the rest of the week. We are going to continue to pump out, Dory says, 3420. Sorry, I didn't catch that. My bad. More great content. Our authors are putting out great content. Mark's not going to steal any of authors. Our social media team has got a newsletter going out now. So our content's going out in a newsletter. If you're not on our mailing list, please go to the website and sign up. That will let you know.
Unsubscribe from that.
Yeah, there is. Just click unsubscribe. It's pretty simple. But that lets you know who the charity is for the tailgate. That lets you know what we're collecting. It also lets you know about the content that's coming out, as well as upcoming events, like the newly announced upcoming event a week from this very evening at Keel and Curly in lovely downtown. Is that Thanota Sassa?
I think so.
I'm not sure what it's really called.
South Thanota Sassa Road.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Might be Sefner, technically, or Mango. I don't know.
Who knows? If you don't know where Keel and Curly is, use the Google machines.
It's about 10 minutes from I-4 and I-75, that interchange. Yeah.
Dinosaur World. You know, Dinosaur World, and then find the booze.
Head north.
And that's where we're going to be.
Do not stop at Dinosaur World on the way. You might not come back.
Absolutely.
Those things are scary.
They are. But they're extinct, so they can't be that tough.
I don't know.
At any rate, definitely follow us on Twitter and on our other social media platforms, as well as Mark and the Pewter Report crew. And get out to Keelan Curley with this as well. We'd love to have you guys out there to participate in the live event.
Get out there early, happy hour, 6 to 7, some specials then. And then, of course, the show from 7 to 8. Knowing us, it'll go on to about
the most specialist part.
Yeah, cool.
Well, and I don't leave until like 4 o'clock or 4:30 the next day. So it's not I can be up late. So good time tonight. I want to thank everyone for joining the show. We will put this podcast up directly after the recording. If you have questions, follow up with us there. Man, the chat room is just going crazy. There's also Brian Dory says we need more herpes references to make this even better. So I want to thank you guys for
Brian Dory has a pretty wife and a beautiful baby.
Absolutely. We were very excited for those kids doing
that. It's funny, you know, I've seen a million babies in my life, but and 98% of them look exactly the same, but this one just stands out. What a beautiful creature. Which it doesn't surprise me. It surprised me part of it came from him, but
well, she definitely takes over that. Thankfully, her genetics won because Brian is hideous.
Yeah, he's scary.
Absolutely hideous.
Scary.
But I did want him to write too, but he's too busy making his own beer, I think. But
he's probably breastfeeding.
He could be. You just don't know.
Wearing one of those man boob plastic breast things.
Do you have one of those with you?
I don't know. Is that real? If not, we need to go invent one. It is real. Is it? Damn it.
I said that like I meant like I knew it. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I have no idea. Bucks fans helped me raise $600 for an MS sufferer internet for a year.
You can milk anything with teats, Greg.
Can you milk me, Greg? I have nipples, Greg.
Oh, wait. Yeah, no. He didn't say it. He didn't say Greg. That's right. But yeah, he was saying it too.
Oh, my gosh.
Bob. Yeah.
Good stuff. All right. We will be back next Wednesday. Until then, we'll be putting out more content as well. I thought I was going to say something else that was really important, but I sure as heck. Oh, yeah. So.
Valtrex.
No, it wasn't about Valtrex. We should get them as a sponsor, though.
Yes, now we should. All of a sudden, I'm itching and I have to go pee for some
Doc,
reason.
Doc, it burns when I.
I think that's the other one.
Oh, wait, that's right.
Yeah, that's when you got to get shot in there.
Rick H wants to know why chicken breasts don't have nipples. It's a fair question. I don't know. I've never seen a chicken naked.
I've never seen. Yeah, chickens don't nurse. You can't milk a chicken.
Well, technically, you probably could.
Probably. A rooster.
Hey-o. And listen, if you milk a bull, you're his friend for life, as Robin Williams said. In a stand-up routine. All right, we're going downhill fast. Thanks, you guys, for tuning in. Follow us on social media. Make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. Participate in all of the various forums.
Go to pewterreport.com, please. Click on some stories, some ads, all of that good stuff.
Definitely need to click around over to pewterreport.com. If you go to their watch party, have a good time. If you go anywhere else, make sure you rep. We will have the e-commerce stuff up hopefully next week. We will also have the photo credit up properly. It's all exciting times. And if you are going to be in Arizona, you podcast listeners, the Buckaholics, which is one of the two major West Coast Buck fan groups, are having a tailgate. Check out with those guys, Art and those guys. Find out where that tailgate is. I'll be out there. I know Buck's Princess is out there with Chris. We'll be going to the Cards number one tailgate and then over to the Buckaholics tailgate. And I will be sitting, I think, in section 140, which is the 40-yard line.
Please be careful of werewolves.
I will definitely avoid all of the werewolves that I run into.
Howard Stern fans will understand that reference. I'm not even going to try and explain it, but if there's some Stern good. Fans
please,
out there,
they'll
understand it.
I'm sure that they will. And if you have not looked at the Patron or Patreon, depending on the pronunciation, please go take a look at that. And if you can participate, we'd love to have you participate. What we're trying to do is offset the cost of all the things that we do and not take away from the charities, which we don't do anyway. So it just means it's not coming out of mine or Cheryl or Bucko Pat's pocket. So that allows us to do some things like actually buy photos from games from real photographers and help our people do better stuff. So if you are so inclined, if you enjoy the content we put out, we would certainly like to have your support in PBS style via our Patreon page. The link is on the top of the website.
If they donate $25, you're going to give them a Gordon Lightfoot Live in Reno DVD?
I certainly could, and we get you backstage passes to Gordon Lightfoot. Is he alive?
Yes, he is.
I don't know, man. I don't listen to the music you listen to. What the hell? Callum, I've got to get your shirt printed. It's going to be a special shirt because you're a patron. So, but I do appreciate you are the inaugural patron as well. So
inaugural,
I need to get your.
Or is it inaugural?
I would say inaugural, but I was making fun of it.
Oh,
so but at this point we're rambling. Thank you guys for joining. Hey, by the way, Franco, if you're listening to this podcast, get us our intros and outros, brother, and we will get your digital new anthem up on the website. Thanks for joining. We'll talk to you guys next week.